Live from Toronto, Canada. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Welcome, friends, to the broadcast for Sunday, March the 7th. And we will traipse over into Monday, March the 8th. Hope you'll be with me for the duration, right through until 1 a.m. Eastern, as we come to you live from our cozy little studio here at 550 Queen Street East in the great city of Toronto. And at 12:30, we will open up the lines for a half hour of open lines, where I'll invite you to come to the phones with your spine-tingling tales or anything of a conspiratorial nature. And at midnight, speaking of the paranormal, supernatural, we'll be joined live from Belfast. A very interesting gentleman. He's been with me several times before. He's a wonderful raconteur. Dr. Bob Curran. I don't know what he's a doctor of. I'll have to ask him. But I know he's done stints as a gravedigger and a musician and a lecturer. But he's also one heck of a storyteller, as I say, and an author. And his latest is A Field Guide to Werewolves, Lycanthropes, and Shapeshifters. And I know, I'm not sure if it's still in theaters and available to moviegoers, but we had The Wolfman. Is that the Dan? Is that still kicking around? The Werewolf, rather? The Werewolf? Is that still in theaters? Or did it, it had a weekend and then it closed, as so often happens these days? I heard some relatively good things about the film. Anyway, Dr. Bob Curran will be here to sort of separate the myth from, I guess, the facts and walk us through the legends of werewolves. A Field Guide to Werewolves. Not exactly the Audubon Society's Field Guide to Birds, but it'll be interesting nonetheless. All right, up first. You know, the whole global warming hysteria has really quieted down, hasn't it, since, well, just before the big Copenhagen summit on global warming, which went nowhere, predictably. We had the whole email kerfuffle out of East Anglia, the control the climate research unit there in East Anglia, and the leaking of some rather damning emails, which suggested, well, I would go further than say suggested. I think pretty well laid it out on the line that the data in support of man-made global warming was fudged, manipulated, massaged, however you want to look at it, and from my perspective, was, I guess I would put that in the suspicions confirmed file. This is something I had always long suspected. You know, people always, when you confront them with a conspiracy theory, or you lay one out there, oftentimes they'll say, well, no, I don't believe in that, because something like that, if it was a conspiracy, you couldn't keep it quiet. Eventually, someone would find out about it. Well, here's a perfect example. The global warming conspiracy. Caught red-handed, as far as I'm concerned. My next guest is a broadcaster, researcher, and has been studying the global warming issue for, it says here, two decades. Many of us weren't even familiar with the man-made global warming 20 years ago, but he's right on top of it. He's here to discuss the deception of global warming. He's also going to reveal some classified information from the U.S. military and tell us how the government's designated tell us about the government's designated safe havens and the highly classified timetable for the onset of the abrupt climate change and rising ocean levels coming our way. He first fought terrorism in 1967, and he's fighting it today. Walking patrol in Vietnam at night alone, he searched for terrorist booby traps. He searched for terrorist bombs in his Jeep and saw what happened to those who didn't find them. He flew 57 combat missions over Vietnam and Cambodia, many of those being hit by enemy gunfire. He went on to join the Green Berets at Fort Bragg, where he trained to invade the Middle East. He also did classified studies of Middle East terrorists for the special forces, special operations, covert operations, psychological operations, undercover operations, surveillance operations, bodyguards. He served as a bodyguard for executive stars like Jane Fonda, Charlton Heston. He's a private investigator, a firearms instructor, an intelligence analyst, homicide Ann Liston also has found time to be a husband, father, and grandfather. And he's known as the Liberty Man. And you can hear him on the Republic Broadcast Network. It's a great pleasure to have John Moore, J.R. Moore, here on The Conspiracy Show. Hello, John.
Richard, good to be with you. Thank you, sir.
Do we call you John or J.R., or which do you prefer?
I answer to both. John's fine.
All right. John, let me ask you first, dial back to your military career, and you talk about fighting terrorism today. Given what we know, and I don't know if you're, you know, I've never talked before, I don't know if you're sort of in step with his line of thinking, but if we look at the global warming hoax as an example of certain elites trying to manipulate us through fear, perhaps towards, as part of a march towards a one-world government, etc. Has your thoughts about who the terrorists really are changed since you were walking patrol in Vietnam?
Well, we were deceived then. The use of offensive operations in Vietnam was authorized by something called the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which was passed by Congress following the alleged Gulf of Tonkin incident, where allegedly North Vietnamese gunboats attacked the United States Navy ships. We now know that that was a complete fabrication and never happened. So most of those 55,000 plus names on that black granite wall in Washington, D.C. are there because of the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which was a fabrication to allow offensive operations in the Republic of Vietnam. We had, there was no vital U.S. national security interest at stake in the Republic of Vietnam. Certainly the people of the Republic of Vietnam had a lot at stake and a lot to lose, but it was not a matter of U.S. national security. It was a matter of those people's security. Unfortunately and sadly, that's what that law was based on, was a complete fabrication and lie.
Well, the Gulf of Tonkin,
today,
Remember the Maine, the Reichstag fire, it's just history repeating itself over and over. So do you see Afghanistan, Iraq in the same light?
The joint resolution authorizing the president to use force in Iraq has about 17 or 18 whereases. I keep copies of it handy at all times. You can tell by reading it that the main focus of the U.S. Congress when they authorized the use of force against Saddam Hussein and the country of Iraq, their main focus was nuclear weapons and a nuclear weapons program, which of course was a fabrication. General Colin Powell was given a pack of lies. He was told it was the truth, and I think General Powell is an honorable man. You notice he didn't stick around too long after making that speech to the United Nations, trying to get the United Nations to act and take and pass a resolution themselves. So that war was based on a fraud. The war in Afghanistan, going after the Taliban because of a connection to 9/11, it would be kind of like going after a motel operator because he rented the room to a murderer. The Taliban had nothing to do with 9/11 except they provided space for the real terrorists to train and hang out, so to speak. But the people involved in crashing those planes were Saudis. It was Saudi Arabian people, Saudi Arabian money, Saudi Arabian belief systems coming out of the Wahhabis. If there's any enemies in the war on terrorism, it's in Saudi Arabia, not Iraq, not Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia and the Wahhabis. That's the people who hate us. That's the people who are funding the real terrorists and providing the intellectual, psychological, spiritual guidance for these men who want to hurt Americans.
John Moore is known as the Liberty Man, and he's a broadcaster of the Republic Broadcasting Network. When can you be heard on that network, John?
Oh, I'm on the radio all the time. Sundays on the East Coast time will be 4 to 6 Central Sundays on Republic Broadcasting. Monday through Friday on the Micro Effect, East Coast time would be 8 to 9 a.m. on the Micro Effect. And Friday afternoons, East Coast time, let's see, it would be 5 to 6 p.m. on Genesis Broadcasting. I co-host a show with Dr. Bill Deagle on Genesis. Now, there's links to my website to the first two shows. I don't have a link set up yet for the one on Genesis.
All right, John, stay put. When we come back, we'll get into the whole global warming hoax, deception, whatever you want to call it, what the government isn't telling you, and or us, rather. We'll talk about some of these classified documents you got your hands on, and I'm fascinated by the fact you've been studying this for two decades. It really hasn't been on the radar for many of us, most of us, probably for...
We can get into all that, Richard. I look forward to it here.
All right. Back with more of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Don't go away.
The world is being pulled over your eyes. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740. To reach Richard, call 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
People haven't been aware of global warming for two decades. You've been studying that long. Where did it begin for you?
Well, I got involved in a research project, and I tend to do these things just because it's kind of who I am, with a background in military intelligence. Outside St. Louis, Missouri, my hometown, I was training with the U.S. Army Special Forces in the late 70s, early 80s, when the Department of Energy announced a Superfund cleanup site right next to the training area to allegedly clean up nuclear waste, which they did clean up some, by the way. There was a plant there back in the 50s and 60s that made nuclear material for the military. But then after they ratted for about 2 years, they announced they were closing the military training area because of nuclear contamination also. That was my first red flag, because without the Army's knowledge or consent, we brought our own radiation detection equipment back there in training operations because we wanted to have children that had arms instead of flippers.
Mm.
So we did this on our own, and we never found anything above normal background radiation, ever. So that's when I started paying attention to the Department of Energy Superfund cleanup site, and that began about 1983 or so and went until fairly recently. They were working out there for the better part of 20 years, allegedly just cleaning up nuclear waste. Over those two decades, I did interviews with people who worked there as employees, people who worked there as outside vendors. I took photographs on the ground. I took photographs from the air. And I did FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act requests. And my file on that area is about 4 inches thick. And I found some amazing things, and one of them, for example, Richard, with current telephone technology, one telephone line with digital telephone technology can be used by three users at the same time.
Right.
Now, this is a no-big-deal construction site, is what it was. And I got on their letterhead, on Department of Energy letterhead, they admit to having 500 telephone lines at a no-big-deal construction site. I went ahead and interviewed several job site managers from other job sites, career construction site managers. They told me that in their 25, 30-plus years, they never saw more than 50 phone lines at any construction site ever. Very large commercial construction sites, by the way. And they had 500 at this Weldon Springs remedial action site. These Superfund cleanup sites, Richard, were all over the United States for years, back in the 80s and 90s. And here's the deal. Almost nobody understands the engineering to clean up nuclear waste. Almost nobody understands how long it takes. And most important of all, drum roll please, how much it costs. The attitude of the congressman whose districts these things are in is basically, get this stuff out of here. I don't care how long it takes or how much it costs. I want this stuff out of my district. And Congress opens up their checkbook to the Department of Energy to get it done. The Superfund cleanup sites, Richard, became black holes of unaccountable money for as long as the government wanted to do it, to do other things. And what they did was build a command and control center at this particular one at Weldon Springs, Missouri. In fact, you can go out there right now, they've shut it down and turned over the above ground part to Lindenwood University. But between two of the buildings out there, they still have the telephone service box, which is 6 feet tall and 8 feet long. And there's nobody even out there anymore, but the telephone service box is.
So what's going on, John? What are they doing?
Well, they built a command and control center, an underground command and control center. My FOIA requests were very revealing. They had one of the subcontractors was Worldwide Telecommunications from back in New Jersey. A friend of mine said, John, if you're building a brand new Pentagon, Worldwide Telecommunications will get the contract. Another subcontractor, a German subcontractor, has one product, and that's massive tunneling machines. That's the only thing they build and sell, and they were one of the subcontractors also. One of the employees that worked there is a Department of Energy employee, in-house employee. I spent the day debriefing her, and she's become a friend. She wore a colored ID badge, James, that restricted her from going into certain parts of the administrative part of the project out there. It allowed her to go to some parts and prohibited her from going to other places. That's called compartmentalization. That's how you keep secrets. What secrets would you possibly want to keep in a no-big-deal construction job site? Well, they did, and that was part of it. And that's how the government keeps secrets, is with compartmentalization. They're very good at it. They've been doing it for many, many decades.
What are they building, John Moore? Are they building some massive underground containment center for the continuance
command
of government?
Command and control.
Okay.
It's called Continuity of Government Contingency Planning. This particular site at Weldon Springs is command and control, where hundreds of men and women with their families could live and work and play for years underground if necessary. And if necessary, it's coming up pretty quick in our face here. Now, you got my DVD, didn't you, Richard?
I did. That's Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You.
I had a chance to look at it or not. One of the things I put on there, and I put this information out for all your listeners, simple Google searches anybody can do to find the government press releases that they're moving to high ground right now. And here they are. CIA in Denver. The CIA is moving to Denver. They're doing it right now. NSA, National Security Agency, in Denver. NSA in Utah. They just announced this a couple of months ago. They're moving, building a brand new computer center 20 miles south of Salt Lake City in the desert. Another one, Plum Island, as in peach apple plum, Plum Island, and the word Kansas. Now, Richard, if you and I were building a facility to study really fun stuff like anthrax and foot and mouth disease, wouldn't we put it on an island in the Atlantic Ocean? It'd be a pretty smart thing to do, wouldn't it?
Well, that's where it was, just off the coast of Long Island, I believe, is it not? Plum Island?
Right,
it's a level
100 miles northeast. Yeah. Right, 100 miles northeast of New York City. Plum Island. It's being moved to Kansas. What a smart thing to do. Move that to the most productive agricultural real estate on the planet, Kansas. Mm. They're doing it because they have no choice. Plum Island's going to be underwater. How about the EPA libraries, plural? You know, Richard, if you file a grievance against your employer, it's like suing your boss. Not really career-enhancing, is it?
No.
You're supposed to say, yeah. No, it's not. Anyway, in the summer of 08... In the summer of 2008, the EPA closed all four of their libraries to even their own scientists. The largest English language collection of cross-referenced scientific articles and journals and documents that they need to keep us safe. And the scientists, God bless them, they filed grievances against their boss, the EPA, saying, we can't do our job. Gentlemen, you've cut us off from the research material we need to keep America safe. The EPA says, well, we're closing these libraries to save money. And then the General Accountability Office, the GAO, says, no, it costs more money to shut these four libraries down than to keep them open. Well, they're being moved to high ground also, Richard. They can't afford to lose that collection. So it's being moved to high ground. The only way you can do that, of course, is to shut them down.
John, when you talk about
the same thing.
Okay, but when you talk about the nature of, when you talk about the global warming deception, you and I are coming at this from, I think, different angles, obviously. When I look at, I call it a global warming hoax. I don't believe in man-made global warming.
I don't either. That's a deception. That's a hoax.
Right. But you're...
It's a cover story.
But it's a cover story because that's the nature of the deception. But you're saying that, that the ocean levels are going to rise, but it's not man-made global warming that's responsible.
That's correct. And one of my major sources for this is debriefing retired U.S. Navy submarine veterans who were in the classified briefings. That these classified briefings began in 1979. And what these men were told in these classified briefings, Richard, is during your lifetimes, gentlemen, not your children's, not your grandchildren's, during your lifetimes in the future, these oceans are going to come out of the basins and flood all low-lying areas 400 feet above sea level and lower, East Coast, West Coast, Gulf Coast, the Great Lakes, and the Mississippi will become, the Great Lakes will become a massive inland sea stretching all the way to Hudson Bay, which is basically going to wipe, cut Canada in two, and the Mississippi River itself will be 50 to 100 miles wide and a couple hundred feet deep, cutting the United States in two. That's what these men were told in classified briefings. And they were shown a map. The map that appears in my DVD is a recreation working with several Navy veterans to recreate the Navy's classified map showing the, what North America will look like.
All right, listen, we'll take a time out, John Moore. When we come back, we'll discuss exactly how these ocean levels are to rise and where the global warming hoax fits into this. Why do we need a man-made global warming cover story? John Moore is with the Republic Broadcasting Network, ex-military. And his DVD is Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. We'll tell you how to get a copy of that as well. Keep in mind, coming up after midnight, we'll speak with Dr. Bob Curran and his new book, A Field Guide to Werewolves, Lycanthropes, and Shapeshifters. Open lines at 12:30 Eastern. Stay with us. My name is Richard Serrett.
Corporations, governments, and sometimes entire civilizations. What goes up must come down. And it lands on The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740. Big Brother is listening, and so are you, to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740. To speak with Richard, call 416-360-0740 or toll free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
John Moore's confidential sources have learned via classified government briefings that in the very near future, there will be rapid, violent, ocean-related events, including flooding and tsunamis. U.S. government scientists are saying that Arkansas, Missouri, the Missouri Ozarks, will become a series of islands. John Moore is with us in his DVD. Is entitled Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. So if these violent ocean events are coming this way, first of all, what is the timing of this, John? Do your sources or these classified documents...
It's a time frame, Richard. It's not a date. And we're in the time frame now. Very strange thing. And the first thing I would ask the audience, the following question... Would the federal government of the United States of America lie to us? And if you and I were in an auditorium with a couple thousand people, they'd all be laughing yes and nodding their heads up and down, wouldn't they?
Well, my motto has always been the government is not here to help.
Precisely. It doesn't take much. It wouldn't take a whole lot of water for the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks to become a series of islands. The state of Missouri has more bridges than any of the 50 states, including Alaska or Texas. We have a lot of streams. Many of these bridges are what we call low water bridges. If the water was up just 5 or 6 feet, it would cut off a lot of people from having easy ways to get around, shall we say. So that wouldn't take a whole lot for that to happen. what these men were told in these briefings changed their lives. One of these men is 100% disabled from radiation exposure on a nuclear submarine, and he's gone public because they can't take his, he doesn't have a pension, he's on disability, they can't take it away from him. His name's Tim Spencer. Him and his wife are both from Central Florida. I also teach concealed carry, as you know. And they were both pistol students of mine the spring of 2009. And we're having lunch together, and his wife's talking, and she says, "John, I don't like cold weather. I don't like cold. I don't like snow. I don't even like Missouri. But I'm here because of that darn map."
Right.
When he retired from the Navy, they moved to the Arkansas, Missouri Ozarks because of the map that's on my DVD. And because Tim Spencer was told by a senior NCO, what they call a chief petty officer, that the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks is one of the known safe havens from these events. And we have literally thousands of retired Navy people in the zip codes of the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks because of these briefings and what they learned and the maps that they saw. And that's why they're here, Richard, is because of that map and what they learned in classified briefings.
These safe havens are not...
Where is this water going to come from? Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, these safe havens are not being shared with the general public because the government realizes this is an inevitable situation. There's nothing much that can be done about it, so and they're not going to save everybody. They don't want 275-plus million people showing up in the Ozarks. That the rationale?
No, sir.
No?
Well, I can't speak for them, obviously, but 30 years ago they made the decision to take care of their own people and everybody else would be on their own. But in the U.S. Navy, God bless them, at least they were briefing their own people, which is more than I can say for my branch, the Army or the Air Force. Now, intelligence officers in all the services usually find out about these matters because they know each other. They're relatively small groups, and they will share information. Non-disclosure agreements are not, you know, you'll do that with somebody that you work with to help them and save their families. But you might ask where the water's going to come from, because the men I was debriefing, Richard, they were in the folding chairs. They weren't the scientists. They were told the water would come up. They weren't told why or how it would come up. It turns out that sea levels measured at Cornwall, England, it has been for several hundred years. And once you get to the equator, for hundreds of miles north and hundreds of miles south of the equator, probably more than 1,000 miles north and south, you've got a bulge of water nearly 500 feet above that line on that rock in Cornwall, England, which means there's literally hundreds of thousands of cubic miles of water above what we call sea level, measured at Cornwall, England, held in place by gravity and the rotation of the Earth. Anything that disrupts the rotation of the Earth more than 1 or 2 degrees will disrupt that water. And that's what's going to happen, Richard. The rotation of the Earth will be disrupted possibly 15 to 20 degrees. It's called a pole shift. The planet's gone through this many times in the past. It'll probably go through this again. And that's what's going to cause the violent, rapid rising ocean levels will be a slight pole shift.
We're talking global flood, like Noah's flood, correct?
Hopefully not that bad. It could be that bad. If you go to mesas out in Arizona, you can find seashells on top of the mesas. Not fossils of seashells, the actual seashells, Richard. You know, they've been laying there exposed to all the elements, not for millions of years, but probably a few thousand years.
Yes, this has happened again and is going to happen, has happened in the past and will happen again.
It's cyclical in nature.
Is it connected?
High technology, human-made high technology has existed on this planet in the past.
Is it
connected to what, sir?
Is it connected to sunspot activity, this geomagnetic reversal?
Well, sunspot activity is a secondary effect. That what's causing this, what will be causing this, is the 10th planet getting deeper into our solar system. I have a fascinating video at my website. The title of it is Are We Alone in the Universe? It was a 10-minute interview there with the following individual, the supervising astronomer of the United States Naval Observatory, Dr. Robert Harrington, being interviewed in his office at the United States Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C., talking about the 10th planet as a matter of scientific fact, giving its size about 3 to 5 times the size of Earth, its density has a far larger iron-nickel core in its orbit, which corresponds, by the way, with the orbit that we have got down through the ages from the Babylonians, as interpreted by Zechariah Sitchin.
So you're talking about Nibiru, Nibiru or Planet X?
Nibiru, that's right.
Okay.
Planet X, Wormwood, Nibiru, right, absolutely.
Now,
that's what's going to cause it.
Now, why then the global warming cover story? Why do we need this?
Well, half the jobs in the United States are provided by small business. It's not a matter of they don't want panic. It's a matter of they don't want small business owners, many of them are financially independent, who could lock their business up and take off for the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks. That would cause panic. It would shut down a sizable percentage of the U.S. economy. They don't want that. They want these business owners who are financially independent to keep going to work, paying their mortgages, and watching professional sports. That's what they want, because that kind of disruption would disrupt their plans. Martial law is something even the powers that be don't want, because it's just so incredibly disruptive to getting anything done. They want business as usual to continue up to the very last moment.
And so by creating this cover story, for those that are noticing something going on, if it's the ocean levels rising,
yeah, like hurricanes over Oklahoma. We had a hurricane here in the Ozarks, April the 8th, last year, 2009, a Category 1 hurricane. That's not supposed to happen, Richard.
No, we're getting...
You're not supposed to have hurricanes 500, 600 miles from the ocean, but we did.
Is the earthquake activity...
Look, they had...
The earthquake activity
Chile... Earthquake activity is part of it.
It is, okay.
Well, here's something your listeners don't know. This Chile earthquake, for example, that happened a week ago Saturday, it was an 8.8 on the Richter scale, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you heard about the one that happened, 40 years ago, which was a 9.5 on the Richter scale?
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's what's interesting. The Richter scale was developed by Charles F. Richter. He died in the mid-1980s. Shortly after his death, in about 1984, 1985 time frame, the Richter scale was reduced by one full number value. On the original Richter scale, the 8.8 that happened a week ago Saturday would have been a 9.8. It shook the whole planet, Richard. It shook the whole planet and slightly changed the axis of the planet. So they're comparing apples and oranges. In 1985, the powers that be knew what would be happening 25 years in the future. That's now. And they wanted to obfuscate and keep people in the dark as long as possible. It's a logarithmic scale. People are learning more about earthquakes. It's made so much news. When you go from an 8 to an 8.1, it's a 100% increase in the strength and the severity of the earthquake. When you go from an 8 to a 9, it's a 1,000% increase, tenfold increase in the power and the severity and the damage of the earthquake. And a lot of people know this and are very aware of the Richter scale. Very few people are aware that the Richter scale was downgraded by one full number value 20 years ago.
John Moore, broadcaster with the Republic Broadcast Network, and he is also the producer of a new DVD entitled Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. And to summarize, he's saying that the whole global warming deception, man-made global warming, is a cover story to distract us, I guess, from the real, even uglier truth. And that is, yes, the ocean levels are going to rise. Well, not essentially rise. There's enough water in the oceans already. They're being kept in place through gravity and the spinning of the Earth. But when Planet X approaches, the tenth planet, that's going to cause some sort of a geomagnetic reversal that will unleash this huge body of water just near the equator, essentially.
Well, the technical term, Richard, is slosh.
Okay, slosh. All right.
We call it, it'll slosh. I mean, it's like trying to walk across a room with a punch bowl full of punch that's full to the brim. It's going to slosh. These oceans are going to slosh out of their basins. And the East Coast of the United States, for example, will take damage. Now, this is not John Moore's information. This is U.S. Navy classified information. The East Coast will take damage up to the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is typically 80 to 100 miles from the ocean.
So
there's 75, 80 million people live in that area.
Gone.
From Washington, D.C. to Boston is basically one city. Go ahead.
They'll be gone. I mean, there's not going to be a 30-day warning. This will happen in a matter of what, hours?
My one source, he's got one PhD and two masters from different universities. He paid real careful attention. He's been a valuable resource. He says it'll be a 30-day period of time when these waters are doing what they do before they really come out of their basins. How much warning we'll have, I don't know. I mean, the government has some tremendous resources to be able to control information if they choose to. And I don't know how much warning we'll have, if any.
All right, sit tight, John. We'll continue to discuss. On the other side, something wicked comes this way. It's a wall of water. Unimaginable. Questions, comments, welcome at this time at 416-360-0740. And toll free from Thunder Bay to the Carolinas, Maine to Minnesota, 1-866-740-4740, The Conspiracy Show, AM 740.
When in doubt, blame the government. You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740. Loose lips sink ships, and sometimes corporations. Got something to say? Call Richard Serrett now at 416-360-0740 or toll free in Ontario, 1-866-740-4740.
The 10th planet, Planet X, Nibiru, headed this way. We don't have a date, but we are now in that window. And it's going to, as it passes by, let loose a wall of water from the ocean that will flood miles inland in the continental United States, Canada, possibly elsewhere around the world. We're talking a flood of biblical proportions. John Moore from the Republic Broadcast Network is here, and he has learned this from his confidential sources and their knowledge of classified U.S. government documents. Government agencies are aware of this. They've shared this with certain personnel. The U.S. Navy has apparently shared this with their service people. And there are apparently safe havens. The U.S. Government has been very busy constructing huge underground bases, if you will, in order to preserve government operations to some degree. How many of these bases, John, do you know about around the country?
Oh, reports vary. Typically 3 dozen or so.
Any idea their capacity? How many people?
There are lots of rabbit traps. Say again?
How many people are they?
How many people?
Can they hold?
Just rough estimates are a couple hundred thousand. You know, they have their technicians and intelligence services and military. Their families, of course, are part of it. These people wouldn't abandon their families. So you got spouses and children, and I doubt there's any spaces for pets, although some of the real elites may have spaces for their pets as well. So they need the cooks, the bakers, the candlestick makers. There's, you know, lots of people are going to be part of this to make sure that they come out on the other side with their shiny new world order ready to run everything, at least in their opinion they will. I know people have access to, and by the way, the insiders call these shelters hotels. I know people have access to them who refuse to participate. They don't trust the engineering. Anything like this is built with an engineering premise to withstand a certain Richter scale event. And anything that would exceed that engineering premise, of course, means you're going to be trapped and die underground. So I know people who have access and just are going to do their own thing and not participate and go to these shelters, even though they could if they chose to.
So these shelters will be, then, according to the theory, what, hundreds of feet below water?
Well, they have the kind of pumps that are used in coal mines to pump water, probably nuclear power, so they don't have to worry about that to keep the pumps going. And these tunneling machines, they basically turn the rock into a smooth glass surface as they move through the rock, almost watertight in and of itself. The technology is pretty amazing, what they can do. It's kind of a rabbit trail, quite frankly, to dwell on that. We know the shelters exist. That's well known. Whether they're connected by tunnels a mile deep, I mean, so what? You know, that doesn't change us up here on the topside. We need to be concerned with what's coming at us and the time frame. The time frame is right now. And by the way, this Mayan calendar 2012 stuff is going to get a lot of people hurt, Richard. That's too far into the future. I don't believe we have that long, quite frankly.
How are they keeping...
We're going to see events in this... Go ahead.
So how are they keeping the...
The
approach of Planet X away from amateur astronomers?
Well, you can't get on a plane and go to the Antarctic. There's no Holiday Inn and no American Airlines flights. The governments control everything that goes on down there, Richard. And that's where you need to be to see it.
You have to be in the Antarctic. So these giant...
Hubble telescope.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we have a round planet, and you can't see over the horizon. The South Pole telescope was recently built. The Vatican has several professional-level grade observatories, and they're looking south to the best of their ability. The Pioneer 10 space probe went up in the 70s to locate this object and track it, and they've been tracking it ever since with every kind of imaging device that you can imagine and every light spectrum that there is, infrared and so forth, as well as visible light. There's a quarter million mile wide debris field that comes with this planet, and we'll probably take hits from some rocks. We have in the past, and we will again.
John, there have been some videos floating around. People can probably find them on YouTube. Reportedly, classified videos from NASA showing the approach of this Planet X. Have you seen them?
Right.
Are these legitimate? Have you seen them?
I have. Professor McCanny, who is a credentialed scientist in astrophysics, he believes these to be fraudulent, and I agree with him. Anything that shows a red planet, for example, he says is fraudulent. It's very difficult to see this planet because of the dust cloud that it travels in, by the way. And the dust cloud blocks reflected light. So you have to have special imaging technology to be able to see it at all. And the first thing people do when they come across this topic, I did the same thing, is to want to run to the nearest observatory and take a look at it. In fact, I attempted to do that. Silly me. I gave up with that being basically a tilting at windmills effort and focused more on what I could prove, which was debriefing the Navy veterans and finding all the circumstantial evidence, like the CIA moving to Denver, NSA moving to Denver, the Plum Island Animal Research Facility moving to Kansas, the EPA libraries being shut down and moved. They didn't say where, but they all were shut down the summer of 2008. The Vatican Library being shut down the summer of 2008. The largest collection of ancient manuscripts on the planet, by the way. All this circumstantial evidence, including the seed vault, as in garden seed, tomato seed,
yes,
being built in 8 months.
In Norway.
Can you imagine? This is on an island. You know, it's not the mainland of Europe. It's territory of Norway at the edge of the Arctic Circle on an island. Building something that size, steel-reinforced concrete, in 8 months is phenomenal. Tremendous resources being put in that, partly funded by Bill Gates, to save the seeds of the world. Because they have to now, not 40 years in the future. If you happen to see Al Gore's film, they say 2050 is when the oceans are going to come up, 40 years in the future. We don't have 40 years. We got a year or two. Continuity of government contingency planning had to be finished, Richard, the 31st of December, 2009. They still continue to work, and they will work up to the last moment. But the main part had to be done 3 months ago, December 31st, 2009. Originally, they gave themselves until so far with seismic activity, volcanism, and truly bizarre, dangerous weather-related events.
All right, John, sit tight. We'll get some calls in here when we come back. John Moore, Republic Broadcast Network, talking about rising ocean levels, a flood of biblical proportion. The government, I'm guessing the Canadian government, is handling this in a similar manner. We can ask John about that, what he knows about that, when we come back as well. They're not telling us. Nothing we can do about it. But if you're lucky enough to be tapped to get a seat on the ark, as it were, you'll have to devote your life underground. For the rest of us, one question: how long can you tread water? Back with more of The Conspiracy Show on AM 740.
If you're sure your phone isn't tapped, call now, 416-360-0740, or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740. You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
All right, we're going to the phones for broadcaster, researcher, John Moore. And we'll begin in Downsview here in Toronto and say hello to Lewis. Welcome to The Conspiracy Show.
Hello.
Hi there. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, okay. I live in Downsview, north of Toronto.
Yes.
And there is a underground command center here. I moved here in 1984. And they were digging tunnels at that time, or before I moved here, and for several years afterwards, I was seeing the dirt piling up year after year. There's now a shopping center there, so they stopped digging there. Okay, but so, yes, they were doing that here. And I wanted to point out that Lake Ontario is 200 feet above sea level. University of Toronto campus is 300 feet, so it's possible that it's 400 feet here. But that means that the lakes aren't going to go all, water's not going to flow all the way up to Hudson's Bay, like John was saying earlier. The other statement I wanted to make, and I just want to mention, I'm not a physicist, but I have an electronics background, and I'm pretty sure that magnetism doesn't have any relationship with gravity. The Earth's magnetism and the gravity of the Earth are two totally separate phenomena. And I'd like to know how, where John got his information about the shift of the Earth's gravity having something to do with, the shift of the magnetism having something to do with gravity.
All right, Lewis, good questions all. John, did you want to respond?
Sure. And I may have misspoke myself and put magnetism as a synonym of gravity, which of course it's not, and I apologize for that. The gravitational influence of the 10th planet is what's going to be causing many of these problems. The magnetic field of this planet, of course, is being the electromagnetic field in space is being affected also, and that's being degraded because of what's going on in space. So I do apologize if I did confuse those terms, and the gravitational effect of the 10th planet is what's going to be causing much of what we'll be experiencing, not magnetic energy. Well, that's you're absolutely right there, caller.
Okay, Lewis mentioned Downs View and the base up there. Now, I don't know if you know what's going on up here in Canada. Can we extrapolate or infer that this is being handled the same way up here? They're building underground bases for a continuity of government type scenario?
Well, of course. It's the nature of any large organization to take care of their own people. Walmart's doing it. The Vatican's doing it. All the
Walmart is doing it. Oh, we've lost John Moore. Dan will try and establish a contact. We'll work Wendy and Scarborough in here in just a moment, just as soon as we get John Moore back on the program. The connection's been a little shaky, actually, I think, from the beginning. You may have noticed the slight delay. In any event, while we get John Moore back on the air, we will get Dr. Bob Curran from Belfast on just a little bit later, probably around 12:15. He'll be here to discuss werewolves and lycanthropes, but the topic at hand, obviously of great importance. What could be more important than the possibility of a flood of biblical proportions and the government not telling us about it? The approach of the 10th planet Nibiru is the culprit, so says John Moore. Dr. Bob Curran will join us at 12:15, and we'll probably get to open lines maybe around 20 to 1. 416-360-0740, 416-360-0740, and toll-free from out of town, 1-866-744-740. John Moore has returned. John, the you were saying about the Canadian situation, and then you mentioned Walmart is aware of this. And
one of my fellow talk show host Frank Whalen, he lives in Northwest Arkansas, not far from Walmart headquarters, and he's had plain brown envelopes with no return address mailed to him with the blueprints of the shelters built for Walmart's top people in Bentonville, Arkansas. I don't know if they have branches in Canada. There's a nationwide building supplies outfit called Lowe's.
Yes, we do.
In the States.
Yes, we have it up here.
Okay. A friend of mine, he's a mid-level executive with Lowe's. He was at a briefing late spring of 09. And they told him the following. Now, keep in mind, before I tell you this, Richard, probably 65-70% of all the people in the United States live within 100 miles of either the East Coast, the West Coast, or the Gulf Coast. At this briefing, he was told that no new stores would be built in those areas, none whatsoever, and all existing stores in those areas would get no major upgrades, routine maintenance only. Now, my friend knows what you and I are talking about here, and he was kind of smiling to himself because he knew the reason why. Now, that's where most of the people are. That's where you're going to make your money, selling building supplies to where the people are living. But they're building no new stores and doing no major upgrades to those stores. I found that to be very insightful. NASA, never a straight answer. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration, we just found this out about 2 months ago. The summer of 07, they granted an outside vendor, a branch of Prudential, a $74 million contract going from September 07 to September 09 to relocate NASA employees. Now, I think, Richard, you and I could move a lot of people for $74 million.
Indeed.
But look indeed at where they are. You know, the Kennedy Space Center in Florida,
right.
Huntsville, Alabama, which, according to the Navy map, will be at the edge of the ocean when water comes up. Houston, Texas, not that far from the Gulf of Mexico. Now, we're doing a FOIA request. One of my researchers I'm working with is doing a Freedom of Information Act request to NASA. We got past the first hurdle. NASA has done their redaction, which is called a synonym for censorship. Now Prudential is doing their redaction, and it may be another 4 to 6 weeks before we get whatever's left over, which might just be a bunch of verbs. By the time they get done censoring with their black felt tip marker.
Indeed.
But it's a fascinating thing to see the money being spent to relocate NASA employees, CIA employees, NSA employees, Plum Island Animal Research Facility. It's just a long list of what we call circumstantial evidence that they're moving their people, and they're moving them now.
All right, Wendy.
They have no choice.
Wendy's in Scarborough. Wendy, you're on the Conspiracy Show on AM 740. Say hello to John Moore.
Yes, hello, John.
Hi,
Wendy. I just want to ask a concerned question, wondering when you're saying about the flooding that's going to be taking place, like rather in, say, like the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. What are the chances of the Arctic Ocean area, you know, like, say, up and around Ellesmere Island and stuff, you know?
Right,
that
right.
Taking place where the glaciers and all that are.
Right, Wendy. All these oceans are at risk of coming out of their basins, including the Arctic Ocean, every ocean, the Indian Ocean. They're all at risk of coming out of their basins and causing great damage and flooding. And that's why the Navy's moving to high, everybody's moving to high ground.
All right, Wendy, thank you for the call. Ilona is in New Jersey tonight. Ilona, welcome to the Conspiracy Show.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I have more of a comment than a question, and I'd like to see what you think about it. I'm coming from a Christian standpoint. Now, we've been flooded out, of course, by the Noah's flood, and God gave us a promise through the rainbow that he would never flood us out completely again. He said this next time that he would come back, he would burn us out. And I'm being, you know, pretty vivid about this, but I'm just wondering, you know, about how you feel about this. I mean, do you believe what Scripture says, or are you just going to go with the scientific viewpoint and just, you know, look at scientific evidence, or really, you see where I'm coming from?
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
The Noah's flood, which happened approximately 7,200 years ago,
mm-hmm.
would have been two cycles. These cycles come in 3,600 year intervals. The one that happened 3,600 years ago, which would have been Moses' exodus out of Egypt, wasn't nearly as bad. There was flooding, but the closer you are to the equator, probably the less effect you have. And, of course, Egypt is fairly close to the equator compared to many other parts of the world. This cycle, it's hard to say. There will be flooding. It won't. Hopefully it won't be on the level of Noah's flood, which, by the way, 500 cultures... You know, not just the Hebrew Bible, which we have as our Bible. 500 cultures have written and records and oral traditions of the same flood at the same time.
In other words, and thank you for the call, Ilona, in New Jersey. In other words, these catastrophic events, floods, coincide with Nibiru's orbit or Planet X's orbit.
Correct.
Which
it's a cyclical thing on a 3,600 year timetable. Right.
All right.
Exactly.
Now. Because we're up here in Canada, my Canadian listeners will be interested to know. Can you give us some sense of what Canada is going to look like after the oceans empty their basins?
Well, if you got Google Earth, you can go around the coast, the east coast and the west coast of Canada, and Google Earth will give you a readout in real time of where 400 feet above sea level is. You can make your own map and see where the damage is going to occur according to the U.S. Navy. Now, I don't know if the Canadian Navy agrees or not. I don't have access to that. But the U.S. Navy says 400 feet and lower is at risk of being flooded out. Now, that's not a biblical flood. That's not a Noah-type flood where we got seashells on top of the mesas in Arizona. But it's enough to cause massive loss of life and loss of property.
Where are the other safe havens, John? You mentioned the Ozarks. Where else?
I don't agree with this, but the Navy says there's a chunk of real estate at the Wyoming-Montana border region where those two states come together. It's way too close to Yellowstone to suit me. And those are the only two I'm really aware of, Richard. And most likely there are. I know the Russians, for example... And this confused us for a while. In the Ural Mountains, which is pretty much in the middle of the continent, they started building massive underground shelters in the late 80s, we were aware of, late 80s to early 90s, at the end of the Cold War, which didn't make any sense to us because we weren't aware of the 10th planet at the time.
You mentioned Yellowstone, John. Obviously, you're referring to the supervolcano underneath
Absolutely.
Yellowstone. So Planet X is going to also cause a huge volcanic activity.
We're already seeing dramatic increases in both volcanism and seismic activity already. Most volcanoes are under the oceans, by the way.
Yes. Now, I've had various experts on the program over the years that track the Bilderberg meetings.
Right.
And I'm wondering, something like this must have been discussed behind closed doors at these yearly gatherings of the world's industrialists and elites.
You had Tucker on there. Tucker always gets in there somehow. He puts on a funny face or something.
I've had Daniel Estulin on the show many times and Jim Mars. And I mean, have any of these Bilderberg?
Well, of course, here's the deal, Richard. Every United States senator knows about what you and I are talking about. Some of the congressmen, the U.S. reps, not necessarily all of them, because they're looked at as temporary hired help for the most part with those two-year cycles. But if they've been there probably 10 or more cycles, they know what the U.S. senators know. A lot of chiefs of police know, a lot of fire chiefs, many if not most U.S. governors know. And of course these Navy submarine veterans, and there's thousands of them. Many of whom live down here where I live in the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks. I was on, you may have heard of the Prophecy Club, Richard.
Yes.
Okay, I did a nationwide speaking tour, many U.S. cities, and my Detroit stop, I had a man, he walked up, introduced himself on one of my 15-minute breaks. He says, John, I'm in the insurance industry. We've wondered for years, why are there so many thousands of retired Navy people in the zip codes of the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks? And he said, now I know.
Ah, there's connecting the dots for you.
Absolutely.
John, how can people get a copy of your DVD, Global Warming?
Well, in two ways. My website is thelibertyman.com. Don't forget to put the Tango Hotel Echo, thelibertyman.com. And I have a toll-free number, 24/7. To order it, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. The toll-free number is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543.
John, very quickly, before we say goodnight, obviously there aren't enough safe havens, I'm guessing, around the country to house 330-plus million
people. What do you think
people?
All those camps are being built for, Richard?
I'm guessing they're going to be underwater.
Not necessarily.
No?
The FEMA camps? Not necessarily.
Ah, well, so
they're being built because they need them. It's not necessarily some grand conspiracy. They're being built because they're going to need them.
So they don't.
People are going to have to go someplace.
They don't necessarily want everyone to drown. They just don't want anyone to cut into their action.
Right,
and take up their valuable space or their valuable resources. So all this, these debates about health care and all this is just a sideshow.
It's just silliness.
Yeah, they're just trying to go through emotions here.
It's just silliness, is all that is, and they know it.
Listen, John, we'll have to have you on the program again.
I'd be glad to, Richard.
Real soon.
We'll set that up, I'd be glad to.
All right. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, the website. Again, to order the DVD, 1-800-592-9543. 1-800-592-9543. All right. Wow, that's pretty dire.
Thank you, sir. Have a great evening.
You too, sir. Pretty dire indeed. Is it possible to lighten the mood with a discussion of werewolves and lycanthropes? Well, we'll reach out to Belfast and do our best as I go scrambling for my water wings.
The owners of the system are asleep. Now we can play. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.